Now, we could at this point spend some time looking at the way in which the Buddha spoke of his enlightenment. How did he describe what he saw when he looked with the eye of wisdom into the heart of birth and death? We could do that, but it's very good to recall that the Buddha himself said that his enlightenment, his Bodhi, is beyond all words, all thoughts, all conception, beyond all subject and object. If you're thinking, you're in subject and object. He also spoke of it as boundless freedom and liberation, therefore. If he wanted the best description of enlightenment, probably the best thing to do is to read the life of the Buddha and read the stories of his loving and compassionate activity. Then you probably get the best idea of what that enlightenment might be like. So I don't want to do any of the descriptions that come from the Indian tradition. I want to leave you instead with some comments from three Japanese Zen masters. They evoke something, I think. Maybe get you questioning, looking into things, looking into life more deeply, looking into the mystery of birth and death. Because perhaps it's not about going beyond birth and death, it's about looking into birth and death more deeply. First of all, I'm going to read a teaching from the great Dogen. It goes like this. Plants and trees and thicket and forest are impermanent. As such, they are Buddha nature. Humans and things and bodies and minds are impermanent. Thus, they are Buddha nature. Countries and lands and mountains and rivers are impermanent because they are Buddha nature. Supreme enlightenment, because it is Buddha nature, is impermanent. The perfect peace of nirvana, because it is impermanent, is Buddha nature. And then there is Hartquin. After much striving, many upsets and spills, much ecstatic breakthrough, and many tough and difficult days, we find him on retreat in an abandoned, rough old temple. And he's sitting, meditating into the depths of the dark night. And outside, the snow is falling. Falling and falling and falling, flake after white flake, falling on roof and trees. Hartquin, his name means whiteness, suddenly seeing deeply the meaning of an ancient koan from the Buddha's teaching. The koan that goes, a young girl's power of meditation surpasses that of the Buddha's wisest disciple. A young girl's power of meditation surpasses that of the Buddha's wisest disciple. And then, suddenly, naturally, Hartquin awakens. He knows directly, and he expresses his realization in a simple poem. If only I could share it, the soft sound of snow falling late at night from the trees at this old temple. So I wanted to show in this talk how the Zen tradition follows the Buddha. It continues the great essential themes of Buddhist life and practice. So it's best to end with a poem of the great Japanese Zen poet Ryokan, who lived in the 18th century. It's a poem about impermanence, about not wasting time. It's also a poem, a devotional poem to the Buddha, one who has penetrated that impermanence, who lives by impermanence. Even if a man lives 100 years, His life is like a floating weed, drifting with the waves, east and west continually. No time for rest. Shakyamuni renounced nobility and devoted his life to preventing others from falling into ruin. On the earth 80 years, proclaiming the Dharma for 50, bestowing the sutras as an eternal legacy. Today, still a bridge to cross over to the other shore.